Our first reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, and starting from verse 32. That evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons, and the whole town was there, gathered at the door. He healed many who suffered from various diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early next morning, he got up and went out. He went away to a remote spot and remained there in prayer. But Simon and his companions went in search of him, and when they found him, they said, "Everybody is looking for you." He answered, "Let us move on to the neighboring town so that I can proclaim my message there as well, for that is what I came out to do." So he went through the whole of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. On one occasion, he was approached by a leper who knelt before him and begged for help. "If only you will," said the man, "you can make me clean." Jesus was moved to anger. He stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I will. Be clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was clean. Then he dismissed him with a stern warning. "See that you tell nobody, but go, show yourself to the priest, and make the offering laid down by Moses for your cleansing. That will certify the cure." But the man went away and made the whole story public, spreading it far and wide, until Jesus could no longer show himself in any town. He stayed outside in remote places, yet people kept coming to him from all quarters. Our second reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and starting at verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure which a man found buried in a field. He buried it again, and in joy went and sold everything he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A merchant, looking out for fine pearls, found one of very special value. So he went and sold everything, and he bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea, where it caught fish of every kind. When it was full, it was hauled ashore. Then the men sat down and collected the good fish into baskets and threw the worthless away. That is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will go out and they will separate the wicked from the good and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." "Have you understood all this?" he asked. And they answered, "Yes." So he said to them, "When therefore a teacher of the law has become a learner in the kingdom of heaven, he is like a householder who can produce from his store things new and old." When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. We join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. I intend to retain a studied neutrality as regards the EU referendum. I'm not neutral, far from it. I have very strong opinions about all kinds of things, and about this kind of thing in particular, but for these purposes, well, at least on this occasion, think of me a little bit like the Queen. Strictly neutral, above the political fray. Well, you wouldn't want partisan politics in the pulpit, would you? I'm not here to tell you what to do, or to tell you what God wants you to do, though plenty of preachers in plenty of churches spend their lives doing little else. And plenty of Christians want that kind of thing precisely. Someone said to me after a sermon quite some time ago, not here, in another place, I may have told you this before, it was probably a particularly obscure, difficult, vague kind of sermon. What's different about that, you say? Said to me at the end of it, Michael, we just want you to tell us what to do. I get the impression that's what a lot of people want ahead of this referendum. Someone just to tell them what to do. I've asked Keith Clemens, who knows more about Europe, I guess, than most of us put together here, to write something for a forthcoming edition of The Link. But even there, I suspect, you won't find someone telling you what you should do. But that's what people seem to want, isn't it? I have lost count how often already. How long has this debate been running? Several weeks? I have lost count of the number of times already someone or other on question time or in an interview outside a shopping centre in Nuneaton or Bradford or somewhere has said words to the effect, we just need some facts. Please give us the facts. Presumably because they think that if someone were just to stand up and tell them exactly what the facts are, we would know exactly what to do. Tantamount to being told what to do, isn't it? Someone to tell it like it is. I suspect that's a large part of the appeal of Donald Trump in the USA. Someone who is telling it like it is. Someone who seems to know exactly what's what. Vote for Trump because then at least we'll get someone who knows what needs to be done, can get things done, and will do things. Just what he might do, well, let's leave that alone this morning. Though it seems to involve building walls and excluding folk and acting tough, but, well, we'll have to wait and see. Just give us the facts. Just tell us what will happen, how things will look if after June we vote to stay in or we vote to leave. But you probably notice you don't need me to tell you there are as many facts as there are people giving them. Statistics to prove one case or the other, scenarios promising summing up plans if we stay or if we leave, and at some point in just about every debate that I have heard so far, usually after some pushy, clever journalist has managed to get a Brexit or a Remain spokesman on the ropes, one or other of them has said, well, it's a bit like Jesus. You see, I mean, the heart of the message of Jesus is God's kingdom. But nowhere do we find him saying what the kingdom is. No facts, see. The kingdom of God is 50,000 square metres. Its residents all have free, unlimited parking and earn the same, three times the national minimum wage, equal rights for everybody, racial justice, no military, no politicians, a cross between Costa Rica on a good day, Switzerland without FIFA, and Scotland or Wales, if you prefer, depending on how much you like singing. Nothing like that at all. The face of Jesus this week is the face of a storyteller and healer, because all he ever does is tell us what the kingdom is like. The kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field, like a merchant looking for fine pearls, like a net that catches all kinds of fish, and lots of other parables in the Gospels as well, like a sower who sows his seed, like water turned into wine, like a good Samaritan, like a pearl of great price, like a great banquet towards which everyone is invited. The kingdom of heaven is populated by tax collectors and prostitutes and lepers and the blind who can see and the lame who can walk and the mournful who are comforted and the meek for whom it is their inheritance. It is like all these things, the kingdom. Like the treasure in the field, or like the joy of the man who found it. Like the net in the water, or like the dread of those who discover that their fate is to be numbered among the wicked. Like the blind who can see, but who knows what they can see, but that maybe what they can see is right in front of the noses of every one of us. Blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed. You see, this is the kingdom. This is the heart of Jesus' message. Not facts, not boundaries and barriers and closed certainties. Those things have bedeviled the teaching of the church about the kingdom down all the ages. This is all parables and ideas and feelings to inspire and experiences to savor and commitments to make and values like justice and peace and love, values to aspire to. Don't settle for facts, so-called facts about the kingdom. Don't look here when somebody says, here it is, or there when somebody says, there it is, or it is like this way of life, or it is like this organization, or it is like this religion, or this society. History is littered with the glorious failures of God's kingdom. And that's besides all those who have managed to convince themselves and tried to convince others that the kingdom is coming in the 1780s or the 1820s or the 1970s or whatever. None of that has anything to do with the heart of Jesus' message. Jesus, the storyteller, the parable maker, the healer of the world's ills, who set his face toward Jerusalem, remember. The face of Jesus. As we get ever closer to the climax of the story of Jesus, I think the godly play telling today has got it about right. Jesus knew that he had to become a parable. These days, films that tell stories are as popular as ever. Even Star Wars-type special effects would be nowhere without a good story. But here's the difference. between telling a good story and being the story. That's said often, isn't it, when some prominent politician or leader announces their sudden resignation. I have become the story. Distracting from the facts of the case, probably. Taking away from the efforts of their organisation to be brought to book. I have become the story. Perhaps such people make us feel a bit uncomfortable. They remind us that behind every tale of corruption and every example of bureaucratic foul-up, there lies a real human being who made a mistake, who didn't do the right, who served his own interests first. Well, Jesus had to become the story. Behind every tale of treasure found, of lives healed, of banquets served, lay a real human being. A healer, a storyteller, yes, but so much more. Someone whose life was his message. It's been the way of God with his people through the ages, hasn't it? Moses, who bore the effects of the hallmarks in his face of being with God. Abraham, who raised a knife to kill the child of his loins, the child of the promise. Hosea, the prophet, who married a prostitute to show that the people had prostituted themselves in the eyes of God. And Jesus. What is the kingdom like? It's like a pearl of great price, like a blind man who can see. It is like me, says Jesus, going to a cross for what I believe and rising again. So, tell the story in the church, live out the good news in your lives day by day, and never forget. If we really want people to be healed, if we really want blind people to see, if we really want this tired old world to find out what God's kingdom is like, that's what the politicians say, isn't it, eventually, when someone pushes them hard enough in an interview and they have to admit that the facts aren't enough, they say, well, it is going to be like. If you really want to see the world mended, you are going to have to not tell them what to do, not give them facts about the kingdom, but show them what the kingdom of God is like. And the kingdom of God is like us. I won't thank you for it. They always shoot the messenger. That's what I think it means to carry your own cross. It anyway, only that way will the face of the coming, learning, growing, blessed, resisting, healing Jesus be seen. When we have become the story. And then he will raise us up on the last day.